Hello, welcome to this edition of Legendary NH Exposed. Now, this was recorded on January 1st of this year. And apparently the night before, I started to develop what would become a case of COVID-19 for me. You could tell that there was an apparent denial in the recording, or at least in this production. And I just thought it was a standard cold. And I should have known better, but after this recording, with some consultation with my mother, I did go and quarantine from that point on. And then January 11th was the day after I got out of quarantine and then went back to recording and streaming. So you hear me with a cold that was really COVID, but thankfully my grandmother didn't get sick or dead, and likewise my mother, she wasn't identified in the episode. So with that being said, here's me under my little measly self. And enjoy. This is going to be pretty lengthy. It's about an hour long. And it's on Dr. Teresa Bullock, the deceased psychologist that claimed to know virtually anything about autism, whom really knew nothing, as he listened on. Decided it'd just be best to run it as a full 1 hour cut. So just brace yourselves. This special presentation on the Weekly Zoo is brought to you by From Techie Crafts, crafty stuff for the technical person in your life. Visit techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo to get your special discount. And welcome to the Weekly Zoo, or This Week in Clickford. This is yours truly. It really kind of sucks to do a talk program in a very crappy backdrop with lo-fi quality. And just seeing a bit rate. Oh yeah, I'm running a lower bit rate for the show. So alrighty, some of the things I was going to talk about tonight, it's a little bit about me, how my Christmas was really awesome. You saw the 12 days of Vlogmas, which kind of goes before and after Christmas, but it kind of got cut off with, unfortunately there was a case of spread of some viruses in the household, so we are quarantine for roughly 10 days starting on Monday, and hopefully by the 6th, if no one else has conditions, things can go back to normal, air quotes. Today I sound a little bit cute because I do have a stuffy condition. My temperature is I'm having a temperature. I'm a little bit dizzy. You know, you get that feeling with the stuffies where like your belly kind of hurts. I don't know how to describe it. You just feel light. Again, as a result of that, I've kind of quarantined myself further and just kind of staying my distance. I'm not confined to my bedroom, unlike the other person in the family, but I'm just trying to prevent additional spread, which that was an anxiety-ridden thing. And Christmas was wildly warm. We had, today we were supposed to get some storm, but it doesn't look like it might develop into anything. And really exhausted and stressed and all that. Just dealing with so much the last couple weeks. It's like between the SolarWinds breach, the way the president, today the New York Times had an interesting thing on the Donald and Jared Kushner, and how he's enough about talking about Donald Trump. Do I need to keep talking about him? Alrighty, so going to talk about, again, I had not done an L-Town Exposed. Oh. I thought something might fall. Anyways, wherever was I going at? So, some of the things that I've seen, with her over the years was that she had, I crossed paths with her. You know, one day I would have my therapy, you know, one year I'd have the evaluation, and 1 month she'd be consulting in the same school I was going to. So she had, she was, you know, self-employed. I don't think she would like, the Obama taxes, imposed on those groups of people, but, well, you know, I bet she was a tax evading person herself. You know, I knew her on multiple levels, but actually, when I had terminated services with her, it was 2 weeks after my 21st birthday, 2 weeks after high school. I'm scared as fuck, what to do next, because the transition, there was no such thing as transition. So you hear about the parents talking about, you know, oh, we gotta do your transition for your child. Well, it's all in name only, to be quite honest. And I didn't have a good transition at all. That's the reason why I am where I am now. And Teresa scared the fuck out of me. And so it's so funny. She was known to the professionals as Dr. Teresa Bullock, and she was far from anything. From being a doctor, she was not qualified to do medicine, but she acted like she knew everything, and that was a very dangerous proposition you had with a psychologist. Is that, well, I have this PhD and I've done 8 years of knowing everything about psychology with regards to autism and all that. I know what's best, and What really pissed me off was how she was so insistent that she knew everything, that she did not know everything. She actually didn't know everything that she was talking about. And I think she was... you couldn't mess with her because she had her PhD, and that is a very dangerous power. So the story with her, and I've said this in the past, is that, you know, you have this power differential between a know-it-all PhD where you really couldn't touch her because she was, you know, all that. And she had, like, this obscene infatuation with my mother because... I remember the moment. It was in March of 2009, a year after I initially terminated services with her. And I went back for, you know, because I was lost. I really was lost. I was not on medication. I was on no medication. And she was kind of pushing me to be on the medicine. In fact, you know, you want to talk about how much power... Oh, you want me to say this on the air? She was a power-hungry whore. She was a power-hungry whore. And what I mean by that was that she really thought that she could recommend medications even though she didn't have the qualifications to do so. Even though she couldn't give them a script, she could tell them, well, this medicine worked because she worked with 1,000 other children, so therefore, that's her base of data. Don't do that. This woman had no ethics whatsoever. She had a moral compass of a snake. Okay? And every woman in this field, like, believes that she is the god to their children, the voice of their children. To this day, I think there were some unfuckable ladies that would be saying that, oh, you know, the world's not the same without her, blah, 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 blah. I mean, really, she was more of a terrorist type, just throwing fear and paranoia to parents. And, you know, it's interesting, is I didn't really have much contact with her since 2010. So I don't know where she was. I would say, based on speculation, because I don't know what about her, really, since the last 11, 10 years, but I would suspect that this woman was an anti-vaxxer type. I don't know that for sure, but I really suspect that she was somebody that didn't believe that vaccines cause autism. I think she's one of those people. She's one of those people that would give power to the autism parents. Okay, so what that means is, you know, just the super parent, the uber parent, the superhero types. And, I think that's a very scary proposition for any child that has a condition of autistic conditions. And, I think it's wrong. I think it's not okay. And if you think that you know more about your child than the child knows about themselves, that is, I'm gonna say that to you. You're a power hungry whore. And parents that want to feel empowered can go to, well, she's not alive anymore, but would have gone to her workshops. And so, going back to what I was saying, a few months after, again, the storyline's a little bit, I've gone back and forth. So, the storyline goes, I had worked with her for 18 years, from 3 and a half to 21. She had done the diagnosis in 94. She did a couple of evaluations. I started seeing her as a psychotherapist. So this is the therapy for like 2 weeks for most of the year 2000 to 2008. I terminated her services literally out of the blue. That was not the intention, in March of 2008. I had seen her a couple months later at a conference, which I'll get to that in a bit. Then I saw her again in August, then went back and forth until I totally cut her off by, middle of 09, early 10, but completely cut her off by 2011. And, I've spoke very critically of her then, I still speak critically of her now. Not just because of me, because people would worship her. People want to understand this. If you have a child, like a little baby under 5, that's got a lost little boy with autism, which is wrong on so many levels. But if you got a child, a young child with the autism spectrum, you wouldn't understand what it's like to be a 33-year-old, almost a 34-year-old, being lost for the last 12, 13, 14 years, okay? And Bullock was kind of the voice of the white power. And yes, I'm talking about Caucasian in that sense, because I grew up, again, in Londonderry, New Hampshire, so this is kind of the intersection between the rich white folk in L Town and the rich white folk from Middlesex County that never lived in New Hampshire, but was on the New Hampshire Council on Autism, which made no legal and compliant sense. But she did it because she was truthful, like she thought she was Jesus Christ, you know, roaming around the state thinking that she could do all this shit. And I'll tell you some of the more traumatic experiences. It was not the 50-minute sessions, but I will tell you, she, again, going back to ethics, okay, I've seen a therapist for, what's that going to be, 5 years in June, who works with developmentally disabled folks, some that have kind of played with the law, to put it mildly. And I've heard more about ethics from him than I ever heard from Bullock in the 18 years. So that tells you a lot right there about the standards
And she had no standards. Because she thought, well, because she's a woman, she's a lefty. She's a lefty whore. And therefore, she could do whatever the hell she wanted. And it was very apparent that you had to be white, you had to be a female, and you had to be typical. And so the way you do it is you do some really egregious treatment, which I think what some would look now as ABA. I don't know if my treatment was ABA, but I'm not saying that it'll cure my autism or just lessen the self-burden that I had to go through in my life. Because I've been through a lot. And it's not just, you know, putting them into the camp of being normal. Because that's not the way you should be treating them. But that's what Bullock was doing. Because that was what she learned back in the 70s and 80s. In fact, I have some books in my collection. Not down here, but up in my bedroom, on autism back in the 80s, some research, papers, a book, it's, I don't know what it's called, what type of book it's called, but it's, a lot of it's just research notes, and it's just sad how people write people off, and the one thing about Teresa Bullock that always got me was that she never learned anything but taught in every moment I saw her. She was a preacher but never learned anything. Never learned a damn thing. And it was near the end of her life, and I felt very threatened. I think by the time I was entering the adulthood, this wasn't just your standard autistic, not able to cope with reality. It was coping with really strong sexism, misandristic tones. So going back to spring of 08, May of 08, Bullock was doing doing a seminar at a conference up in the northern part of the state. She only was there for a day. She didn't stay overnight. She was, in Boston the night before at a Sox game, and she was doing this thing on social capital. If anyone's heard of if any typical person's heard about social capital today, you might be familiar with the one that's in China, basically judging people's social credit based on the contributions to society. Like, it's like a credit score. But back in the olden days, for this philosopher she noted, I can't remember offhand, she talked about the social capital stuff. And I was, like, shocked, because I'm in this room, too, with my mother, and I'm around other women. I can't help but to be sexist, because, I had to be honest, there were women, professional, that they work in the field, and it's a place for the professionals, because they don't have enough time to geek out or nerd out with their girly infatuation of controlling young, older boys. No, they need to go to conferences to keep talking about, it's not okay to do something socially inappropriate, that I think even for a typical median autistic, which is verbal, somewhat functioning, but not like a vegetable and not somebody in a diaper, we know better. And again, fast forward 12 years later with the pandemic, and guess who's more fucking socially retarded than the person that is labeled as such, right? And so, Bullock was a real threat at that point, and I felt like she was a threat to the state. And, I reported her for, malpractice and stuff like that. I never really, went forward with it, but enough to kind of get people to, and in fact, I was kind of doing it right as apparently she was getting sick with the rare disease, which I don't even freaking care. I really don't, because I am. This autism video that I played back in 2019, you can look her up. It's like, come on. I'll give you the link here. Just post it in the comments here, because it'll just make you want to, like, if you want to find a way to commit suicide, if you're an autistic, you're feeling like shit, don't watch this video. Because that is the kind of stuff, and again, she's talking to typical Caucasian women that think they can control the old boys, okay? That's how the special ed and the special needs fields are. It's so back-ass. It's back-ass, it's stupid, it's intellectual dementia. It's a slap in the face, and I seriously believe that my life has been more of a challenge in the last 12 years, because people like her have such the strongest voice, and I really think she has an anti-autism agenda than a sympathetic, because what happens is, you know, with any standard typical adolescent, their minds change and they get a little bit more hornier, and yeah, they need to control themselves a little bit. Not all of them are perfect, but some get the message and then they back off, and then some don't. It depends on the individual, but the idea is a boy, the cute little boy that can put on his cheeks, who's a real person in the room, they're changing. Oh my god, he's not the cute little boy that he was in our resource room. Oh my god, we gotta change him. And that's what moms like to do. They like to manipulate their sons. So you put a woman like her out there, use the autism as an excuse. And again, I'm not blaming my autism for my craziness. It's they perpetuate this behavior. If you're teaching them that, oh, they're touching themselves all the time, or they're just they're repeating themselves, they're doing this over time, or doing this all the time, well, of course, then when someone is not doing that behavior, they're gonna be thrown off guard, and then no wonder why that they these individuals that don't fit the checkbox fail to be in schools and programs, because they're kind of in the median. So anyone who is verbal and somewhat functioning are the ones that basically get fucked in the system, and that is yours truly. And people like her get threatened, because, you know, you got someone stronger than you, and you know, it's yeah, that's the problem. And then I'm watching this one clip where why the fuck is she using, because if she works with adolescents and you gotta like act like, you know, a grown-up or what, then why are you using fucking pecs? That's not age appropriate for adults. Oh, I've done some adulting pecs. Oh god, I think I threw them out too, but I used to have a couple of TSP buddies, and we were doing adult packs, and that's how you bypass this Mayor Johnson bullshit. Again, remember, when I was a kid, packs, we had Board Maker, which apparently, from my understanding, Mayor Johnson is the publisher of the packs. Board Maker was a Mac and Windows app back in the day that you could make packs, and you make your own customized packs, because what it was the books, they were like volumes of different verbiage and stuff like that, and pictures. And what you would do is you could insert a word from like a printout or a typeout or what. Board Maker kind of fused the two. So when I was a kid growing up, Board Maker was just starting to get installed on some of the some of the Macs in my elementary classroom in L-Town, but, I don't find PECs to be very, mature. And you wonder why these kids don't grow up, or be able to grow, because the problem is that a lot of parents, it's like a, my current therapist tells me a diagnosis is supposed to provide hope to families, okay? When most parents of an autistic get the diagnosis, they give up. They're like, oh my God, my God took away my child. It's really bad. Like, one of the workshops that my mom went to on the conferences back a few years later, they said, when you got your child's diagnosis, you went to Google, right? Well, when I was diagnosed in 1994 with the antiquated disorder now, there's a thing called America Online. And it was a dial-up service that would connect you to what they called at the time an online service, okay? And you were charged by the hour. So if you had, and it got to a flat rate when things were, when the web started to come along and all that. But back in the day, you had to pay an hour, an hourly rate to use America Online. And so there wasn't much stuff on America Online at the time, I don't think. So, again, forgetting that every person, to believe that, that autism is this new thing after the late 1990s caused by vaccines is utterly bullshit. And I just feel very lost, and I feel like the system is not looking out for me. The system isn't looking out for me, and people to this day are probably grieving over her like their sister passed away. And I don't care about her. She was, I'll put it this way, when I was going to see her for couple Mondays a month for the therapy, I still have the notes. I mean, she had, there were two column, notes that she would use for everything that she did. It wasn't like for one thing, but it was like one side was my side, my mother's side was on the other, and if there was a conflict, right? She was favoring my mother almost every time. She never empathized or understood where I came from. And so, coming into adulthood, becoming an adult is, really difficult if you weren't respected as somebody, because you had to conform, right? Well, you conform, but what happens if all conformity fails? There's no fail-safe mechanisms in the system. People will fall through the social stratas. And, Teresa Bullock, and notice I never call her Dr. Bullock in any of this reference, because again, she was not a doctor. She was a PhD in psychology, mostly on the autism spectrum disorder. But she had, do no harm, that they say to medical doctors. She did everything to harm me. And I cannot let go of that until something positive happens in my life. And when I did the zone, was it 4 years ago? I think, things were looking bright, and then things went back down, up and down, up and down. It's just been a wild 4 years for me. And
now a quick message from our sponsor. This special presentation on the Weekly Zoo is brought to you by From Techie Crafts, crafty stuff for the technical person in your life, visit techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo to get your special discount. techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo.
This wasn't, like, I don't want to have vitriol to people. I don't want to wish ill of people. I shouldn't be speaking ill of the dead, even though it's been 4 years. In fact, it wasn't released to the public until February vacation of 17, and I didn't know about it until after my 30th birthday. And there was apparently chatter amongst the family of when to tell me, because it was floating around social media, and I was on Facebook, still am. And I didn't see any of it, so I was kind of immune to it. There was relief, because I, again, when somebody harms you and almost murders you without getting away with murder, you're gonna do the fucking Snoopy dance. I'm not gonna lie about it. And Bullock was that legion of just my deep hatred to anybody who had I'm not like Donald Trump, who hates anybody who has any experience. I mean, Dr. Fauci's no angel, and I don't think Dr. Fauci is a man who, isn't he's not a fraud. Okay, Fauci has admitted his wrongdoing. He's a doctor. He has some standards. But, Bullock was so fucking pathologically arrogant that she just thought she could do... She thought she was invincible. That's the real... that's the real thing that she basically did, was she could not do... any harm, and she was holier than thou. It's hard for me to let go if there's nothing to replace it with. When you rip a human being, whether they have a developmental disability or not, you shouldn't at all costs do not try to discredit them as a human. And when you discredit a human specifically, and you are a professional, right, you could lose your license. It's hard to recover, and I think that is one of the reasons why I have struggled, even in the last 12 years, 12, 13, leading up before my 21st birthday, and after my 21st birthday, and the years that followed. And I think it wasn't a loss of skill per se, but a lot of aggressive push to a certain direction that didn't need to go in that direction. And at the same time, I have lost so much in my life. I've lost ability to grow. I've lost a lot of ability to develop and grow and be around the peers, which she was really pushing. You want to know where that obsession came from? It came from her, and she always had a reason and rationale for everything. She always had something. She always had a reasoning for everything, and there was always a reason and a rationale for people that were the typical people. So if I had a conflict with a typical person, there was always a reason and a rationale for them, and that I was wrong and they were right. So you could see where the mechanism of I had to be somewhat right once in a while. I'm not saying it was not like President Trump, who's a pathological paranoid schizophrenic who thinks everyone's out to get him personally. When you're the CEO of the, you know, the largest country in North America, no one's out to get you personally. Okay, so I want people to know that too. Some people have thought, you know, I'm paranoid that, you know, the world's out to get me. That's childish. And yes, did people fail to address needs in critical manners? The answer is hell yeah. So did the school district across the river drop their ball a few times? Did they lapse on judgment? If you want to use that out to get out against me, then the answer would be yes. And at the time, I was a very loose cannon. If I was a loose cannon, I was really wild back in my teenage years. But again, I never had a voice outside my family, outside it was Teresa that was giving the reason for everything. That skill was never transferred to me because that was a power I wasn't to have. I wasn't allowed to have that power. And Bullock, I'm not sure if I'm the only one. I would not say that I am not the only one that suffered with this, but I have a very deep sting on anyone who claims to be an autism expert, and they just judge everything on data, judging things, judging things based on the basic prejudices. I have been in a position of, you know, stuck, being stale, insecure of who I am, who I want to be. Okay, I'm 30, turning 34, and I don't know who I'm supposed to be. Okay, I understand that I'm not the only one that's gone through this, but it should not be justifiable for someone at this age where you should have some clue of who he is. And the problem is, the reason why I feel like I'm not who I am is that there's a lot of prejudice and a lot of people that just don't, you know, you know, I'm not an advocate by any means. I'm not here to play advocacy. I'm not this actually autistic type. I'm not this weirdo. A lot of the people that claim to be actually autistic are just people that are not even close to typical. Like, they're not even heterosexual, never mind. You know, I don't like being confused though. And, you know, these are the queer people. They're not even attracted. They just look so disgusting. And I hate to say that about my group of people, but that's how they're projecting themselves to everybody else, being the high-functioning types. Thankfully, I don't have that many people in this area, but just stay in your urban locales, please. You're not all that. And I never, any time that I try to give voice to someone who doesn't have the voice, but give them hope, oh, you're high functioning. You don't know what it's like to be low functioning. You're selfish. You're self-centered. You know, it's part of your clinical diagnosis. I'm like, excuse me, you don't even know me, and you're not even a doctor, let alone a dyno, and you're going to tell me what you think? No. And, you deal with a lot of this, prejudice, and the prejudice is, the prejudice is real, and it's life-altering, and you don't recover from that really easily. I think if you are at a young age, and you're manipulated by a bunch of ugly women who think they're holier than thou, it will haunt you. And And that's, you know, I know I keep kind of going back and forth here in this, the Leninger connection. And that, so she lived in Western Mass. I grew up in Londonderry. Okay, so Londonderry is on the other side of the river. You know, Westford is just south of Lowell, or north of Lowell. It's north of Lowell. Middlesex County is a very ritzy county, as you know. I'd like to call it Middlesex Offender County. and, you know, she had a lot of connections to people that were very elite. And I want to explain elitism in a different fashion that stuff like the president wouldn't, the president, it has a deep stain for the elitism. There's, you know, like I said, when I was going back to Dr. Fauci and stuff like that, you know, there are people that are, you know, have good faith efforts for being in their positions of power, and that's fine. And sometimes when they screw up, they should be held accountable. So, I was basically forced obedience to anyone that was elite. And again, as I've been saying for tweeting this and posting this and shit like that really the millennials in the most richest parts of New Hampshire, which literally I grew up, these people were lower than middle class, but they were so fucking ritzy. And again, a lot of that has to do with the Londonderry School District violating accounting regulations. I mean, there's a lot of weird shenanigans that went into the school district. But the peers were so fucking deplorable. The millennials, okay? As I did in the first few episodes of the L Time Exposed series, most of these people were basically, there was like 4,000 of them. So if there was about 400 students graduating in Londonderry High School times 12, the numbers keep changing because it's you're trying to find an average. You know, I would just say to say, if you had 15 years of people graduating closer to 400, you have somewhere between 4,300 to 4,800 young kids that never came back, okay? And these people were trashy. I still remember some of their Facebook posts that they would shit-faced. I mean, it wasn't just onesie-twosies. There were bunch of posts of these people that were drunk as a skunk. They're killing their bodies. They were, you know, they were using slurs too, but I mean, come on, they were upper class people, right? Not to mention one of my AFOL friends grew up in Londonderry, and he was a fucking lefty, far left, just had such an elitist tone. It was, in some ways, it sounds fake. And, you know, Londonderry produced a lot of out-of-towners to go to bigger and better places. New Hampshire was supposed to be the pissing starting point of their life. And wherever they bury, maybe they don't believe in God, so they'll just throw them in a body of water and that's how they go. So Londonderry isn't that kind of town. But with COVID, with the coronavirus, there's no millennials. No millennials are going to save us. We don't have an affluent millennial. And again, the people in fucking Londonderry were just drunken millennials. About, I would say 98% of the 4,000 that had graduated from LHS were on substance abuse from the moment they turned 18, if not earlier, with alcohol, smoking, and maybe sex, which I keep saying they should die of AIDS, get AIDS and die. I mean, they're skanks and sluts and shit like that. And, you know, And those people, that was New Hampshire. A lot of people think, oh, New Hampshire is this old conservative state. No, Londonderry is a very ritzy, affluenza-ridden, elitist people. So between Teresa fucking Bullock, Dr. Suicide, I say that like that because it's like, you make me not want to live here. And of course, I can't say I want to kill myself in front of you, but of course, you know, I tried, you know, probably did it before, you know, coming in your office kind of a thing, you know, but she was also giving me, again, I'm not saying she was prescribing medicine, I want to be clear with that, but there wasn't a line, you can make a case that it was unethical where she, you know, you're talking with your psychiatrist, and then, it's funny, my psychologists were like, literally a mile apart, but they never met in real life. So they're doing everything over the phone because that's what professional relationships are. We don't need to know what they look like. We just have an imaginary in our mind, apparently. So Bullock, you know, was consulting with my doctor, and then this is another thing I would recommend people: if you see a physician's desk reference hardcover book in a psychologist's office. And it's her primary office, I would, that should raise red flags, because a psychologist is not supposed to give you that deep of an opinion and say, well, oh, the thousand other kids, it's worked for a thousand other kids, but, you know, didn't work for me kind of thing. It shouldn't be that way. So, you know how a lot of affluenza-ridden kids are with, their affluenza. I don't know if anyone in L-Town, I don't think we were a drug town. Where I live now, there's a war on drugs since like 1985. It's like a self-fulfilled misinformation because Merrimack's not the most well-informed town in the Southern New Hampshire region. I'm just putting it out there. But in L-Town, I don't think we had many people on drugs, but I know probably in Westford and other Middlesex offender county towns, they probably were on drugs. So that's probably how she made me feel like I fit in, because all the other suburban Caucasian kids were on prescription pills to be successful. But it almost killed me. I was at 220 pounds at my max when I was on these really bad medicines I shouldn't have been on to begin with. So Bullock almost would have killed me that way. Thankfully, I got off the medicine cold turkey in an orderly fashion, and within a month, I lost 30 pounds. I lost 29 pounds technically, but virtually I lost a pound a day. Bought clothes that would be a little bit, a couple sizes larger just in case I ballooned, but I shrunk. It was really like, I mean, I went down to 170 and now up about 10 pounds, 10 to 15. I don't think I'm going to get back to the ideal 170, but it's better than where I was. I did not like where I was, and I'll tell you the scars that Bullock did. If you're looking on my cam right now, you probably can't see this, but these are stretch marks, okay? That wasn't because I got knocked up or anything like that. No, it was just the sudden spike of fat with the skin not catching up to the stretch. And it's gone away, but you know, I don't let that bother me. I have stretch marks. It is what it is. I learned, it's just a lesson that I learned, to never trust a psychologist that, you know, is almost identical to a Donald Trump. I cannot stress how much distrust I have to the elite. And really, Teresa was a yes woman. You had to comply with her. You couldn't challenge her because she'll put you in your spot. She was shorter than me, and she was putting me in her spot. Okay, so she was Christ in her world, and I don't think she was a believer in Christ. Okay, so you've got that going on, and she tried to do that to me, and she thought because she had a PhD, she could know everything. Because she specialized in autism, okay, well, I can know about medicine, I can act with authority. She never could admit wrongdoing. And the time I initially terminated her, that was like the time she almost broke down. I think her temple was collapsing. In that first link I shared to you in the comments, she uses a phrase that she's privileged, and this was about the time I terminated her, and a year or two, maybe longer, and she says, I'm privileged. See, she talks so much like an atheist. Yeah, you know, if you had a little faith, if you believed, if you had some belief in life, maybe you would feel blessed. Yeah, she's fucking with a Satan right now, spanking with him, or he's spanking her, or whoever, I don't know. I'm hoping she's in hell today. I hope every day I wake up, she's in hell. She doesn't belong. She doesn't belong in heaven. She destroyed my life as one moderately functioning autistic in this state. I can speak with authority that this fraud on National Broad Street, who practiced fake psychology, deserves to be in hell. And I will piss on her grave. I don't think she has a grave, but I'll piss on it figuratively every year. Just to silence that voice, because she tried to do it so much in private, in confidentiality. She loves her confidentiality. You know why? So she could get away with doing bad stuff. Don't tell her anything. She'll keep it private. Even if you're not allowed to tell her, she'll keep it private. You know, double secrecy. And she did that because she knew that her temple was going to fall. I remember in my last year in school, I was, you know, one in the area of the town council was looking at putting an ethics commission. So I was like, well, what? You know, should I be more ethical? And I remember her writing one of the notes in her, you know, biweekly notes that she was really obsessed with ethics. I love the word obsessed. It's like, you know, just stereotyping fit me into this autistic box. That makes me feel really good inside. It just makes me feel warm and furry, you know, be fucked by a chick I could fuck. You know, a MILF. No, can't have a girl. That sucks. And it's those kind of things that, you know, I think she was probably on a watch that her temple was collapsing because, you know, you can't be successful and not have any standards. And I do think she was playing with me, experimenting on me. Maybe not towards me personally, but people like me or someone more identical to me. I do think she was doing a lot of unethical things, and I think people need to, the mama bears of, you know, Middlesex County, of their Aspergering kids, because the Aspies were in Middlesex County, and all the PDNOS retards lived in, you know, Hillsborough and Rockingham County, because that's how the, you know, it really is. If you were in Massachusetts, you probably have Asperger's. If you're in New Hampshire, it's harder to get the Asperger's diagnosis. So you're kind of fucked. Not only was I going to school in Massachusetts, but I lived in New Hampshire and went home in New Hampshire. So I was screwed either way. And Bullock made sure I'd be screwed either way. I mean, she did that with, I do think she was harmful. And she was not an expert at all. And I do hope that there's a special place in hell for her, for those who don't see the potential of anybody with on the autism spectrum disorder. And that's kind of, I made my passion to make sure that she would be discredited in some way, shape, or form, because, you know, you put me with this world-class expert, because in the books that she written, oh, she's popular in North America. Goes to Vancouver, goes to this place, and all over the North American continent, and just spew lies. And always be surprised that someone could be better than she would expect. I mean, that's disgusting. You know, that's even more disgusting. And I just think people have to, you know, just stop putting prejudice on these people, because you're only, again, you really have to, I talk about this on occasion. I don't like to talk about autism advocacy all the time because I think it gets boring, but I do think that it's important to talk about what she did wrong as a basis of what, as a baseline of what you can do better. And I know her impact has gone to thousands of families, thousands of teachers, thousands of paraprofessionals, maybe in the adult services system, but, you know, she believed in segregation, because again, I didn't mention this, but you know, she's a Southern liberal, she comes from North Carolina, went to, where was it, in, Oleana. She got her PhD down there, and she, I do feel like she had some segregationist in her, because I do think there was a point where you could talk about everything about them without them in the same room. There was no inclusion amongst the autistic and the typicals that were not peers in your typical peers, whatever peers are. People, the word peers is very vague. So, yeah, she's a far left feminist, was a far left feminist, boy hating, bully, because again, she knew if there was a stick down there, you know, make sure that gets psychologically disconnected by chopping them off through really bad therapy and make them feel so broken, and then throw them in the adult system and then have that be someone else's problem. I did nothing wrong. That was the kind of traceable, like, I know, and it was very, very, very sad, and I feel bad for anyone who had good experiences with her or felt that she might have done you any help, but I felt helpless and hopeless, and it was a good idea. I don't regret the way I left. I had to get out of that bubble. I don't want to compare it to being an abuse victim, but once you get out of the dungeon, you will see some light. You may not know where the end of the tunnel is, but it's better than staying there in the dungeon. It'd be nice to have people in my life to help me get out of that tunnel so I can survive. And that only works when we start silencing those people that think they know everything. You have to either ignore them and let them just drive themselves into the ground, into hell, or I don't know how you do it, but I really hope that this hour, my story of my experiences with ritzy Caucasian people, millennials, typical millennials that exploited me. Teresa Bullock was really just aided and embedded that behavior and made me feel really like horseshit, and I'm still recovering from those scars. You don't have to be fucked literally to feel scarred. You could be figuratively screwed over, and yeah, you'll hate somebody forever, especially with someone with that prestige. If you know, you're acting like the psychologist version of Bill Cosby, who fucked people literally and drugged people literally. I got drugged indirectly by Teresa Bullock, but I didn't get fucked by her literally. But it's close enough to feel like you did get screwed by the liberal elitist system, of which I don't normally say on this program. I normally say philosophical people, but the more that she can just die off a cliff, the more society amongst everybody with an invisible handicap. And the biggest challenge, as I mentioned with the Dan Habib hit clip, Dan Habib is only talking about people with wheelchairs, okay? Because we've gone so far back with advancements with all types of invisible and visible disabilities, we're now only going to reward people that are in wheelchairs and paralegic or have the perceived vegetable conditions with cerebral palsy. That is where people are going to get rewarded in New Hampshire. And we're on the 30th anniversary of the closure of the Developmental Disabilities Institutional System. And there's so many wrongs going on. There's so many wrongs that people have taken wrong turns. And thank God, if there's a God looking out for me, I'm out of that part of the system. And I pledge to never go back in that ever again unless they really change, which I don't think they are. In some ways, those experiences the last 5-6 years was almost repetitive of what Ms. Bullock was teaching on the school level. So again, you're not growing. You do not have the right to grow. Okay, that is not a right in this country, and it's not a right in New Hampshire now. So that's what I'm up against. Alrighty then, happy New Year, happy 2021. I'm not expecting anything. I'm not going to predict anything. I think we're going to have a lot of deaths, whether it's COVID related or not. I hope I don't have any additional symptoms. I hope I just caught some random cold and I need to get some sleep. And I'll see you folks maybe another time.
This special presentation on the Weekly Zoo is brought to you by From Techie Crafts, crafty stuff for the technical person in your life. Visit techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo to get your special discount. techiecrafts.clickford.net/theweeklyzoo.